In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Now that's wonderful. Thank God that we can have that part. But look at verse number 20. He tells us something. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." Now that's what the church is built on. Now a church that's not built on this verse right here is not the true church. Amen. You mark it down. This is what the church is built on. It's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. It said in verse 21, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." You can be seated. Lord, tonight, open my mind, my heart, and Lord, the Word of God before me. And Lord, I pray tonight that I might be saturated with the Spirit of God to deliver the message to this people. And Lord, that we together, Lord, might understand the things of God. Give us illumination of our minds, God, that we can comprehend what is preached to us. And Lord, I pray the presence of God might be real in our heart, that we might take what we hear, apply it to our hearts, and Lord, not only just let it be hearers and go out one ear, or in one ear and out the other, but Lord, may it be applied to our heart that it might change our walk and change our talk, and God, change our manner of life. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory for what you accomplish. In Jesus' name tonight we pray. Amen and amen. Now, somebody wanted to know the other day, I was just talking to a fellow and he said, "What are you? What are you?" And he was trying to find out denomination, and I said, "I'm a Bible believer." That's what I'd rather be called is anything I know. Amen. You know that? Look with me tonight and hold your place there. Well, we'll skip around. Matthew. Go to Matthew. I want to read a verse of Scripture. And I want to read a verse of Scripture out of the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew. Turn to the Matthew chapter 21. And it goes right along with the Word of God tonight that I've given you out of the book of Ephesians in Matthew chapter 21. And go to verse number 42. Give you time to turn. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 42. The Bible said in Matthew 21:42, "Jesus saith unto them, Did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Now we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, amen. And we see that out of the book of Ephesians. We're built upon them, and we see this. But Jesus Christ, it said, is the chief cornerstone. Now the Bible said that the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Now some folks don't want Him, but thank God I've got Him. Amen. Amen. You can throw Jesus away if you want to, but I'll take all you throw away tonight. Amen. I need Him. He don't need me, but I need Him. And I thank God tonight that the church is built upon this foundation. Somebody said, "What are you?" I'm a Bible believer. Now, I don't like all them adjectives, but if I was going to say something about an adjective and put to describe it a little bit more, what I am is what I'd say. I'm an old-fashioned, old-time, independent, fundamental, premillennial, amen, King James Bible-believing, shouting, born-again Baptist. Amen! Is that good enough? Now I can give some more adjectives if you want them. But that's the kind I am. Amen. And I'm not ashamed of it. Now, somebody said, "You're bragging on the Baptists." No, I don't brag on the Baptists. Amen. I've seen too many Baptists make too many mistakes. And the Word of God is not hinged on the Baptists. And we don't have all the answers, but we hold the answer. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we mess up, and I know we mess up. But I believe the Baptists, and I'll say this tonight, you may not agree with me, and that don't make no difference. I believe it's the closest thing to the Word of God that I can find, or I'd get into something else. I do want to be labeled with something, so I just call myself a Bible believer. Amen. And go on from there. Now, I've been given a noble heritage. I mean, it's come down to me. I've got a heritage tonight, brother, that's solid. I've got a heritage tonight that's firm. I've got a heritage tonight that's anchored. Amen. I mean anchored. Built upon the apostles and the prophets. Amen. And Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. I've got a heritage that is anchored. I've got a heritage tonight that's weather-beaten. Amen. But it stood the test of time. Thank God. I've got a heritage tonight. I just praise God for it. And I give God the glory. And brothers, based off of something I want to get in your mind. Turn to Proverbs just for one little moment. Proverbs. I want to read one verse of Scripture out of the book of Proverbs that you ought to memorize, get in your mind, and stay with it. Chapter 22 of the book of Proverbs. I would just go ahead and quote it to you. But I want you to read it in your Bible. It's probably marked in your Bible. If it ain't marked, shame on you. Amen. If this is not marked already in your Bible, please make sure it's marked tonight. Don't ever forget it. Don't lose it. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 28. Proverbs 22 and 28 said, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." I told you I had a heritage. You ain't got that mark, mark it. He said, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Brother, don't even move it. Amen. Nor remove it. Leave it where it's at. Brother, we have been given something tonight to build upon, and I pray that we keep building on it. I pray that we don't back off of it. Amen. We've got a heritage. This is our heritage. Brother, we've got some ancient landmark. There's a fellow moved in below me down there, and he started setting out shrubs and everything, and he started setting them out, and I paid no attention to it. But we had to come back and have the land surveyed one time and had to make sure we was cutting off a piece of property there and was trying to make sure where the property line was. And when the surveyor got out there to survey in, he said this. He said, "Mr. Dills," he said, the stake right here for your property line's right here. But he said, "That's not where it's at according to the deeds and according to the record." And I said, "Oh," he said, "yeah." And we looked in there, I called it a stob, amen. Old country boy, stob. That stob was painted, and right there where I thought it was supposed to be, and I thought that was the was where it's supposed to be. But he said, "According to the records, it's back over here somewhere." He said, "It's been moved." And the neighbor said, "I didn't move it. I didn't move it." I said, "All right." So I didn't pay no attention. We didn't go to law, didn't get all that stuff. I'm not going to fight you, amen, off a bunch of it, but I'm going to tell you this. They kept a digging. He said, "We'll just dig." He said, "Something's there." And he said, "I don't." And he kept digging and kept digging. And sure enough, he dug a hole. And there was the stob that was there originally. The neighbor had moved it. Amen. Because he put the shrubs on the wrong side. Or got them over on my property. And so he moved the stob. Well, I'm saying tonight you can move some of the stobs if you want to. But God says you don't leave and move those landmarks. There's some things tonight you can't move and get by, amen, with your spiritual life. Now, thinking about that, I'm indebted tonight. I don't not only have a good godly heritage, but I'm indebted. I'm indebted to my fathers. I'm indebted to their fathers. And I'm indebted to their fathers before them for giving me a heritage tonight that I can claim and hold to. I could have been raised where I'd never heard the gospel. I could have been raised where I'd never heard the preaching of the Word of God. I could be tonight still in my sin and on my way to hell. But thank God somebody down the road before I got here heard about Christ and built their life on Jesus and give me a heritage tonight that I can't get away from. And thank God I've got an indebtedness to them. Not only have I got an indebtedness to my forefathers, but I've got an indebtedness to my children. Amen. So that they can walk in the precepts of God, that they can stand on the precepts of the Word of God. Brother, I'm indebted to them to stand before them and live and preach and do what God would have us to do so that we can lay out and give them a heritage and leave something behind us that they can build on and their children can build on it and their children can build on it until the Lord Jesus comes. Thank God for what a heritage we have. Amen. You said, "Where'd you come from?" Amen. We come from the start of this thing. And I'm not talking about the beginning. I'm talking about when the church got established. And I praise God for it. Now, you know what the world says to the church? You know what the world says to you? Here's what the world says. "Well, why don't you just conform? Why don't you just compromise? Why don't you tone it down? I've been told some of these things. Amen. Why don't you lower the standards? Why don't you back off? Why don't you cut the corners? Why don't you cool off a little? Amen. Well, the fact is, they don't tell you to get rid of it. They don't say quit. They'll say tone it down a little. Don't tone it all the way down. Just tone it down a little. They'll tell you, lower the standards. Just lower them just a little bit. Don't lower them all the way down. Just lower them just a little bit. They'll say, cut off the corners, but don't cut off too much of the corner. Just cut off a little. Amen. They'll say, just back off, but back off just a little bit. And then what happens is when you do that, the next thing you do, they come back and said, cut off the corners, but just cut off a little bit. Back off a little, but don't back off a whole lot. And after a while, you got so much cut off that you ain't got nothing left. I say, saints of God, don't back up. Don't back down. Don't give in. Stay with it. Build on what we've been built on. Amen. We got a heritage. Praise God. Amen. Well, guess what? The executives come along. The wealthy people get out in front. These college people's come out of college today. They'll start trying to tell you what we ought to do. Brother high society people, they'll come out and here's what they say. Well, why don't the church just simmer down? Simmer down a little. Quit all that shouting. Amen. God's not deaf. You don't have to speak loud. Amen. You heard that? A fellow said, we got in our church, we don't pray. You remember back years ago, saints, I remember when the saints of God got together and men would get together and pray and women would get together and pray. Brother, they'd tear the roof down just about it praying. Brother, there's a praying and seeking the face of God and crying and weeping. And I never heard such noise in all my life in a prayer meeting. Hey, we don't want to get there no more. You know what's happened? The world said, simmer down. Amen. And we followed their advice and simmered down. But that's what the world says to simmer down. The church, the world says to the church, slow down. The world says to the church, why don't you just start organizing and programizing? Get it all together where you can dot your I's and cross your T's. Amen. And then I go to the throne of God. I look in the Word of God. And God don't say simmer down. God says dig a little deeper. God says set your affections on things above, not on the things of this world. The Bible says, and God says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Amen. That's what I find. And God says to me and you, climb up a little higher. Look unto the hills from whence cometh thy help. Your help cometh from the Lord. The Lord said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. We're not to back off. We're not to simmer down. But we're to hold to the landmarks. Proverbs said, hold to the... Do not remove the ancient landmark. Amen. Stay with the stuff. And stay with it. Amen. Now looking at this, I want to say this. Did you know tonight, when you go to town, I know how to get to town tonight. You don't have to give me no instructions. I don't have to have a GPS to get me to the house. I've drove that road so many times. Hope I never get to the place where I can't figure out how to get from this church to the house. I'm in bad shape when that happens. Amen. I don't even have to look at the road signs. I can pretty well tell you what the road signs are. We got a little road down here. The other day I noticed they put a little sign on it. Brother Jim, they put a little sign down here to tell you how fast it's running. It's flashing. And I looked on that thing and it'll tell you how fast you're running. And I looked at it. Did you know you can go from one end of that road to the other end of the road and you cannot even find a speed limit sign? I thought, this is kind of ridiculous. Put a sign up to show you how fast you're going and don't even have a speed limit sign. I looked at it 3 or 4 times. I said, surely there got to be a sign here. So didn't even have a speed limit sign. So I don't know where I was breaking the law when they flashed it on me or not. How about that? Well, suppose tonight I was going and didn't know where I was going, and up here had an arrow pointing to the left or to the right to go up 190 or up 97. Is that 97? 197? Which one is it? Up the crooked road. Alright, if it had a sign pointing to 197 and you got over there before I got there and put the arrow to the left-hand side, I'd be in the back alleys of the streets of Clarksville tonight and not know where I was going. So you change the signs, brother, you get people the wrong impression. They go the wrong direction. And brother, if we back off a little bit, people don't know what the truth is. That's why we're where we are tonight. Now the world says there's three major religions. Three major religions. They're wrong. I'm going to prove that to you. The world says there are three major religions. There's the Protestant religion. Put this in your notes. They call it the Protestant religion. They call it the Catholic religion. And they call it the Jewish religion. Amen. You said, is there any more? The world says there's not. Everybody can be classified in those three. But not according to my Bible. Because I'm, first of all, not a Protestant. Secondly, I'm not a Catholic. And thirdly, I'm not Jewish. And I'm not, amen, trying to be wrong in anything you're saying. I'm trying to be sarcastic in none of it. What are you, preacher? I'm a born-again, saved by grace, born-again believer. Amen. Trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. You said, preacher, I'm a Protestant. I think I mentioned this the other day, one of the messages I preached. But we're going to talk about that tonight. I believe we ought to know what kind of stuff we are. We ought to look and see what kind of stuff we're made out of. I hope I can get all these done. Amen. I hope I can tell you enough to let you know what you are. You said, preacher, and I about decided this. I don't know what I am. That's what some people say, preacher, I don't want to. Amen. I about decided they're right. They don't know what they are. But I want you to know what you believe. Somebody said, I'm a Baptist. Now, why are you a Baptist? I'm a Baptist, preacher, simply because my mama was a Baptist. My grandma was a Baptist, and her mama was a Baptist, and then her mama was a Baptist, and we've just been Baptists all around here all our life, and that's all we've ever known, so we're Baptists. That ain't good enough. Amen. A Methodist can come through and say, I'm a Methodist because mama was, and grandma was, and grandma was, and on down the line. And that won't stand the test of time. I'm a Baptist for certain reasons tonight. Amen. And I'm going to give a few of them to you. And we'll talk about it as the days go on, because this won't be a one-message outfit, I'll guarantee you. Seems like I can't never get anything in one shot. Amen. Hey, I shoot with a double-barrel shotgun. Mine's not a single shot. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, we look at these things, and we'll study it just a little bit. You say, what are you? I'm a born-again believer. Did you know tonight that we started off, and here's where we got our start, in verse number 20 of Ephesians chapter number 2. We are built upon the prophets and upon the apostles, and Jesus Christ being the head cornerstone of it. That is the way we've been built, and that's how we got started. Where did the Baptists come from? They came from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through the apostles, and on down we are. The first time they was called Christians first at Antioch. Later called Anabaptist, and then just shortened off to Baptist, and I'm ashamed of some of them. Amen. But that's where we got our start. Now, I want to give you some things. I want to give you three or four or five things. First of all, I want to say the church is non-Catholic. Non-Catholic. Now, if somebody looked at me and said, well, preacher, Catholic means universal. That's right, it is. Amen. But the church is the ecclesia, the called out ones. Amen. The Catholics, they say they got started back with Jesus and His teachings. But history will tell you different than that. In 325, they got started. A.D. 325 A.D. Constantine and all those and Nicaea, brother, they established the fact that they and stepped out and they were a few Catholics before then in their little beliefs. You know why I'm not a Catholic tonight? Because they're not Bible. Amen. And I'll prove a few of those things. I'm not into that. I'm not here to tear down denominations. I'm here tonight to tear down religion, though. And I'm here tonight to preach against untruth. I'm here to preach against that which is not right. And I'm here to preach what God teaches us from the Word of God. Amen. Most every religion that we know besides the Jewish religion and all the other denominations have come out basically from the Catholic Church. When the Catholic Church got started in 325, on up to about the 1500s, in the 1500s, the Catholics had the main line and they was running with it. And brother, you know what they were doing during that period of time? They were persecuting the Christians and the saints of God. Amen. Now you said, where were they? They're the born again believers that I come from. Amen. Their trail is a trail of blood. And brother, I want you to know, it's the blood of the saints of God that they're built on more than they are on the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. But the church tonight is built on the blood of Jesus Christ, God's perfect Son. Hallelujah. Now you look at these things. Long come the Catholics, and then there came what we call the Reformation. Now that's when, you remember Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, I'm going to get out from under this. He read in the Bible one day. He is a Catholic. He read in the Bible one day and he said he found out that man is justified by faith and not by the sacraments. And he said, hey, I'm going to have to pull away from them for that. But he didn't pull away from everything else. He just pulled away from that. Amen. Martin Luther. And he set up the Lutherans. Then here we come and you read this. And I'm not going to give you all the dates. I could give you dates, but I don't have time for it. The Presbyterians come out. The Episcopalians come out. Sometimes I call them the Whiskeypalians. We went to a wedding one time, and it was a reception, and we come there. Matter of fact, I didn't know nothing about that, but here we come out to the back of that church after we'd come out of it. They'd had the wedding. One of my wise people. Amen. They must be Whiskeypalians. But anyhow, we come out the back, and when we got out, they had liquor bottles in the back. This fixing to have a reception. And I seen them liquor bottles and I said, honey, we're going home. I didn't stay for the reception. I wouldn't have been at the wedding if I'd have known that. But there they were. And they had all that, the Episcopalian. And then long come the Methodists. All those come out of the Catholic Church. Every single one of them. Amen. Now, you know what? We got people today that run with Martin Luther. And then here came John Calvin. He set up his little thing and went, and these, yes, guess what? Anybody wants to run with Martin Luther. I quote him sometimes in some of the things he said. And anybody wants to run with that crowd and label them as being some of the forefathers. They may have started the Reformation, but brother, they didn't help in the church that I'm used to. They might have tried to get some of them as in error to come out of error and get over to where we are. But brother, I'll tell you, we stayed in the mainstream. Glory to God. Amen. I hadn't deviated and come through the Catholic Church and had to come out of it, so I'm not a Protestant. I'm glad, thank God, I never had a part in it. Amen. I've never carried a rosary. I've never used the beads. Amen. You hear me? I don't pray to Mary. Never have. Hallelujah. Don't expect to. So we find all them. John Calvin and Martin Luther, they were Protestants and they were also politicians. And see, they didn't do anything. When the Christians were being martyred and when the Christians were being persecuted, neither one of them stood up to stand for the Christians. They're still standing for their side of the faith. You understand that tonight? Brother, I get disturbed about it. Somebody said, I wouldn't knock all them. I did, didn't I? Amen. Amen. I'm not scared to do that. They're not here to defend themselves, no how, but if they were, I'd tell them the same thing. Amen. Well, I believe tonight that the church is non-Catholic. Number two, put this in your notes. I believe the church is congregational. I believe the Baptist church is congregational. Now, when I say this, don't you get me misunderstood. There's a denomination called themselves the Congregationalist. And they're Pentecostal. And I'm not telling you tonight that the church is Pentecostal. I'm telling you this congregational. When I say that, here's what I'm meaning by it. The church is made up of a congregation. It's made up of born-again believers. And I believe God established a church like that. Amen. When I say that tonight, I'm telling you this. You see, and I want to tell you, even the Pentecostals came out. Amen. Where'd they come from? They come out of the Baptists. They got all messed up and started believing that you could lose your salvation. Speaking in tongues is something extra. And they didn't get started till the late 1800s and early 1900s. They ain't been around that long to be a thorn in their side, but they've been a pretty good thorn since. You'd be surprised at the Baptist that wants to run with the Pentecostals. And they can't get it separated. I know Baptist churches that believe you can lose your salvation. I know Baptist churches that speak in tongues. I know Baptist churches tonight that just got all kinds of different ideas. And they didn't get off the main line, brother. That they got it off of the sideline. Brother, I'm glad we're still on the main line. When I mean tonight that we are congregational, it just means this. You see, all the Pentecostals have their overseers. They can't do nothing without talking to the overseers. They're in a group. Amen. The Methodists have got their bishops. Amen. The Lutherans have got their synods. The Presbyterians have got their synods. The Catholics have got their dioceses, their popes, their cardinals. Amen. And on down the line. They can't make a decision on their own two feet. They got to go to the crowd. Amen. These folks can't even own their own property. Can't hold a deed to the place that they're worshiping. Can't spend money without going to some of them people. Brother, but we tonight, thank God, we can elect our own pastors. We can make our own decisions. Brother, we have the congregation to work with. And thank God, I believe that's the way it started off. In the early church, they sold everything and put it together. And brother, they took care of business. And so I say tonight that that's what we have. Thirdly, I believe tonight that the church is totally autonomous. Now I heard a preacher preach this not long ago. We had him here. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me when he said the church is autonomous. And I said, probably got some in our church that do not know what autonomous is. And that's a big word. It's not a Bible word. But yet we can take it from the Bible. The Bible describes it. So it wasn't long after that preacher preached that somebody asked me, what is autonomous? So I know there's some here tonight that don't know what it means for a church to be autonomous. So when that bunch of jacklegs try to tell you tonight, amen, the church is autonomous and you don't understand what, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to nobody. But I'm just a little old simple preacher. I didn't know what it was many years ago myself. Amen. And some of you don't know, so I'm going to tell you. Autonomous means simply that it makes its own decisions without somebody else. The church calls its own pastor. Secondly, it spends and pays its own bills. It can choose its own missionaries that it wants to support. You understand what I'm saying? And send them out. We don't have to call headquarters. We don't have to get the bishop. We don't have to call and see what the diocese says. We can stand up before you tonight and say, hey, I believe we ought to give $100 to this cause. And how many is all in favor of that? You'd raise your right hand and we tell the treasurer, write the check. We don't have to write headquarters to find out. That's one of the reasons I fell out with the Southern Baptists for years ago. That was a time when I was raised, and I want to give you this tonight. I was raised as a young boy in a Southern Baptist church. Amen. That's back when I didn't know anything about it. I was raised and went to church because that's where Mom and Daddy took me. I didn't have no choice to go anywhere else. Amen. My Mom and Daddy took me to a Mormon convention. I'd had to went. Amen. You would have too. But I thank God, hey, God has taken care of me. And even in the Southern Baptist Church, I did hear the gospel. I did get saved. Amen. Somebody said, well, you can't get saved in the Southern Baptist. You can get saved wherever the Word of God goes out and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and you get under conviction and you call upon God. I don't care if it's in the backyard, at the hog lot, wherever it's at, God can save you. Amen. Amen. You can get saved in any denomination, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost get a hold of you. The only problem is, you're going to hear too much trash to keep you all of it blinded. You can't get there and most of the time. Amen. So the Southern Baptists, they had the convention. You know, they started off well, and next thing you know, they've got what they call associational missionary. Somebody said you never have problems with associational missionary. You will too. If a church ever decides that it wants to do something and the association or the Southern Baptists say you can't do it, brother, they'll come and see it over. We was in a Southern Baptist church. I pastored them a few times. Amen. I wouldn't pastor one now if you give it to me. Amen. They wouldn't want me. After about two or three sermons, amen, both of us would mutually agree to dissolve. We'd have no problem with it. But I took a church one time and I said, I'm an independent Baptist. They said, well, we don't give to the association and we're not in the association, so that'll be all right. But I found out that was only from the top of their head. They didn't really mean that. Because after I preached a while, well, we had a crowd and we decided we was going to take the church out of the association. Because I didn't believe in women preachers. Still don't believe in women preachers. Don't believe God calls a woman to preach. And I believe in the King James Bible. And I don't believe in liquor on the campuses of the colleges like Furman University at that time where I was. And so I said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pull our church out from under it. We're not supporting it, and we're only in name only, but we're going to get our name out from under it. And guess what they said? You can't take this church out of the association. This is what was said by the associational missionary. We gave this church $1,000 when this church was established as a Southern Baptist church. And if you go out of it, you've got to go out 100% and you've got to pay back the $1,000. That's what they told me. We almost done it. But we had one man that was not going to conform. And he caused the trouble, and the Southern Baptist Association of Missionary came out there and stopped it. We'd have took it out. And I know they can do that. Somebody said, they never give you no trouble. Amen. It's because you ain't never give them no trouble. You follow their guide, and I'll guarantee you'll be all right with them. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight, we're totally autonomous. This church supports itself. We don't have to go downtown, go up to another church. We don't even have to call another Baptist church to operate this church. You understand? That means we're autonomous. Yeah, you say, well, preacher, why did you just say self-supportive? Amen. Well, that's what we are. Amen. We don't have to go get any help. Then I want to tell you something else tonight. Another thing, this church, and I believe every church ought to be, I believe it ought to be at the place that we are evangelical. In the sense that we evangelize. That's a big word sometimes people don't like. You said, are you evangelical? Depends on how you're talking about that. Amen. Well, some folks call about evangelical. You know what I'm talking about? We increase our membership by conversions. People getting saved or people coming out from like churches that are dissatisfied with where they are. That's how we are to do that. The early church got its members from hell. From people being born again. They went out and won them to God. They went out and got the drunks and the harlots and the cussers and the liars and won them to God. They got saved by the grace of God and joined the church and got in it. And that's what the church is made up of. Well, we're not evangelical when it comes to this sense. Well, there's many of them tonight add to their church by infant baptism. Amen. Catholic Church, you know why the Catholic Church is so strong against abortion? They can't baptize many babies. It's not the Bible principle they're holding to. They can't add to their congregation. Amen. That's why they're against it. That's why they do that. They want to add to their church by this business of baptizing babies. So they don't like abortion. They're standing against it. They don't like birth control, but they want all of them to have all the children they can have. And the reason to do that is because it adds to their church. That's their way of doing it. That's called pedo-baptism. That's a word tonight. May have shook some of you, but write it down in your notes. Pedo, P-E-D-O, baptism. You don't hear that mentioned in church. I've known that word for years and years, but I just don't mention it until a time comes up for it tonight. But I do want you to know what pedo-baptism is. It means baptism, infant baptism, baptizing children. And by the way, they don't even baptize them. They bring them up there and sprinkle them. Amen. And they sprinkle. You see, if they ever baptize a baby in the church, they are classified as a member the rest of their days. They're classified as a Catholic or whatever they're baptized into. Don't go with a new birth. Don't have to get saved to confirm them and all that stuff on down the road. But brother, I'll tell you what, they do not go through the blood-bought salvation that we teach and preach tonight. That's why I don't follow their leadership. Amen. That's why they're against it. And then I'll give you another tonight, a couple more things about it. The church not only should be in the sense of being evangelistic and trying to win souls, and that's what we do. I see, we pass out tracts and preach on the street, preach on the radio, preach on the web. We preach in the pulpits. We witness from door to door, house to house, person to person. That's our job because we're evangelistic. Amen. And then we got the cults. And of course, we got the cults going out knocking on doors. And the Baptists is, you know, is sincere about what they believe. As the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, brother, I tell you what, we could really increase our churches. The Mormons say, you know, as we are, once God was, and as God is now, one day we can be. Now, did you get all that? Let me go back and explain it to you. The Mormons say, as we are, that's how God used to be. He was no more than you and me. That's what they say. And then they say, as God is now, high and lifted up, we can be. One day gods. They look at it. We'll one day become gods. That's what they teach and preach. And people swallow that hook, line, and sinker. And the Jehovah's Witnesses deny that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. They'll say He is a God. He was a great man. He was a great prophet. But He's not the very God in flesh. And brother, how you determine Jesus in your heart and mind tonight, that's exactly where you're going to end up in eternity, with or without God. That will determine where you're headed. And I'm going to preach on that here in just a few days. Amen. You said you rattled, preacher. No, I'm just about preached myself to death tonight. I'm enjoying. I like exposing error and preaching the truth. I like the truth. I love the truth. Amen. I long for the truth. I want to know the truth. Thank God I have the truth. Hallelujah! He dwells in me. Praise God for the truth. Amen. Well, give you something else. The church should be, and that's missionary. Every church should be missionaried. I know some churches tonight call themselves missionary Baptist churches. And you ask them, same churches, how many missionaries do you support? We don't support any. Well, tell me why you call yourself missionary if you don't support missions? They can't answer it. I want you to know, missionary Baptists or missionary churches ought to be supporting missions. Amen. I like that. I do. Praise God. Did you know the Baptists do more for missions than any other religion, or not regiment, any other denomination in the world? Did you know tonight that the independent Baptists support more missions than Southern Baptists do? They only got, where are they going to, and brother, you get in the cooperative program and some you put in there will go to missions and some will go to this and some will go to that, and most of it's going to the sours of them and sitting in them big buildings in Atlanta or some of the other big cities. Amen. We send money to a missionary. I want the missionary to get it. I want to know who we are sending and why we're sending him. I want to know what he's doing. Amen. And so I believe tonight we ought to be... Who was the first missionary of the church anyhow? Would somebody tell me right quick, call his name? Paul! Well, Peter and him was. I said this morning that word apostle means missionary. It was. But when I think about a missionary, I think about somebody that's leaving home soil and leaving and going to foreign soil. So in that respect tonight, Paul was the first one. He's the only, all the rest of them as far as I know. Now you could slide something I hadn't seen in the Word of God. If you do, remind me, I'd like to go. I certainly don't want to preach error. But to my ability and my knowledge of the Word of God tonight, you'll never find any of the other disciples going anywhere but just in their local locality in the area of Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea. It was Paul that went into the uttermost parts of the world. Now, if I'm wrong on that, I'll be glad to stand here and change it, because I wouldn't want to preach any error. You can give me some scripture tonight to prove that, but Paul was our first missionary. And we've been sending missionaries ever since. And then, I want to give you one more that the church shouldn't be, and how that it ought to have its play. We hear so much today of talking about ecumenical. You hear so many people use that little word, ecumenical. But you know, tonight, they're giving all kinds of, there's terms that goes with these that breaks that down even further that I'm not going to get into because time's not going to let me. But I believe tonight we ought to be non-ecumenical. You said, what's it mean to be ecumenical? It means hobnobbing with all them tonight that do not believe in the Word of God like we believe in it. We ought to be tonight non-ecumenical. We're not going to run with that crowd tonight that don't like it and don't preach and don't hold to the precious Word of God. If they don't hold to it, we separate from any unbeliever tonight. We don't hobnob with the unbelievers that teach things that's contrary to the Word of God. We ought to give them the gospel, teach them the gospel, live before them the way God wants us to live before them. But we don't put our arms around. I'm not putting my arm around a Catholic. I'm not putting my arm around a Methodist and hobnob. You said, hey, you mean you're not going to pray for them? I pray for them all the time. But I'm talking about, they're not going to be the ones I eat donuts and drink coffee with down at the Hubble House. Amen. Brother, I'm going to separate from that crowd. We cannot get along. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I wouldn't say it all that hard. That's the reason you're not preaching. Amen. That's why God didn't give you the job. You hear me tonight? I'm a separatist. I don't want to be so separate and I don't want to be so holy. And so heavenly minded that I'm no more earthly good. But I'll tell you, I do want to get the place and I'll stand true to the Word of God. I'm not hobnobbing with them. We've got churches tonight that hobnobs with every religion. Hobnobs with every denomination. We've got schools tonight that hobnobs with every one of them. We've got Christians tonight that hobnobs with every one of them. And I'm not going to be no part of anything that hobnobs with all that crowd tonight. I'm a separatist. I'm a separate. I don't care if they don't like me. Amen. I'm going to fellowship with them that believes what I believe. And I believe tonight what the Bible teaches. Amen. That's right. Amen. So don't expect me to have Father so-and-so from the Catholic Church to come and preach. I'm not having a Methodist preacher come to preach, a Presbyterian, or a Episcopalian, or a Pentecostal. You with me? You don't go home tonight worried about that. If you think I'm going to... Listen, I have my choices tonight. There's a lot of Baptists I wouldn't want to stand in this pulpit. You hear me? So I'm particular about who preaches here. I've been that way for years and I want to keep it that way. I want all the other churches to be like that. Amen. You said there's a lot of places they won't let you. That's all right. Amen. Because I don't agree with them. If they don't agree with me, I wouldn't want them to have me. I don't want to go somewhere where I got to look at the crowd and change my philosophy and change my way of preaching. I preach the same way here, there, and everywhere. Check my track record. All the churches I've pastored down through the years, I've gotten in trouble for preaching the same thing. Amen. If anything, I just want to get stronger with it. Amen. I want to be like a... Pardon me tonight. Back in the when I was a little boy, you could throw out a ham bone and you have two old dogs and brother, their ribs are sticking out because we didn't feed them dog food. And some of them is too lazy to hunt. And we give one bone and you know what? They'd just about kill each other. Want to get that bone and run with it, and the other come in and brother, here they eat the other enough. And I want to be like that, brother. Anybody steps out of the realm of where I'm standing with the Word of God, brother, I want to be like an old hound dog with one bone. I want to guard the bone that I got tonight. Amen. Amen. We'll stop right there, heads bowed and eyes closed. Hallelujah. Thank God. You said, preacher, you mean... Not enough. Not mean enough. Most of us let too much go. We wobble too much on the axle. We allow too much to turn through. We back up too much. We compromise. We cut off too many corners. we've got the squares cut up now. They look like circles. We've conformed. We've compromised. God help me to stand like I've never stood before. Stand, please. Say, Clay, God dealt with you hard. I want you to come. Maybe you just want to come and say, God, make me stronger. Help me to get firmer. Help me to get more solid. Help me to stand more than I've ever stood before. Help me to wave that blood-stained banner. Not let the devil scare me to death. Oh, God, help me to be what I need to be.